Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Hello, world, and welcome to Trust the Tape, episode 11.14.18. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh at JC1053 on the Twitter, and I'm alongside my co-host, the great Dane Brugler at DP Brugler. You can find his work on theathletic.com and everywhere else in the world. DallasCowboys.com, 1053, the fan, pretty much everywhere. The great Dane Brugler. Good, I'm trying not to say good morning to tell people when we broadcast and when we podcast, because I don't know when they're listening.
That's true.
So instead of good morning, I will say hello, Dane. Hi.
Happy day. That's generic, right?
Happy time to whoever you are and however you're listening. And
happy,
welcome.
Happy November.
To a boring college football season.
Boring.
Is that unfair?
A little bit.
It didn't even change. The top 10 didn't change.
First time.
Nobody moved.
First time ever.
Nobody moved.
First time in forever that the top 10 all went 10-0. Yeah, this late in the season, we just rarely see that. But, you know, I think this is a good chance to kind of reset and say, okay, let's, you know, we only have 2 weeks left in the regular season. Then we have championship weekend. So let's reset and see, okay, who's really got a realistic chance at this thing.
Well, we're going to have, this is not going to make it. I want everybody to know that. It's not going to make it.
What?
Somebody's going to throw a wrench in here.
It's
going to happen.
Yeah?
I see you not believing me.
I'm eager to hear what's going to happen.
I'm putting in the call.
Yeah, be more specific.
I'm putting in the call. One of the top four teams will lose this weekend.
Ooh. Okay, all right. Well, it's not Alabama.
It's not Alabama.
Who plays the Citadel. By the way, I heard this coming.
I do hope that the Citadel has a great showing, though.
I heard this coming in. How much do you think you'd have to bet on Alabama to win straight up, to win $100?
Okay, so the odds.
Yeah. Win $100, how much do you think, and no odds or no point spread, just straight up, how much would you have to bet on Alabama to win 100?
Oh, money line bet. If you bet the Citadel to win straight up and you bet 100, I bet you get 200 to 1. So that would be, I bet you have to bet 50 grand to win $100.
Close.
What is it?
750 grand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll take that. That's great odds.
And how much would you have to bet to get $100 if you pick Citadel straight up?
A quarter.
7 cents.
Okay.
So, well, yes.
That's a great bet.
Yes,
never know.
Exactly.
College football, any given Saturday, 7 cents. Who wouldn't want to risk that? So I'll do it. I'm in.
So
Bama's not going to lose.
Basically, Alabama's not going to lose to the Citadel. So fair point. Clemson, they've got an interesting one against Duke. And this will be a good game to check out Daniel Jones, who was outstanding against North Carolina last weekend. Ran all over. He had like 186 rushing yards, over 300 yards passing. So going up against Clemson, and you know, Daniel Jones is interesting because he's not playing with a lot of NFL guys on offense. He's probably the only legit prospect, and that shows at times, especially with the offensive line, and he's going up against a really strong defensive line. So I don't think that Clemson's going to stub their toe here.
Clemson is not going to lose.
Let's skip three. Let's go to Michigan.
Who's Michigan got?
They're in they're Indiana, I believe.
Yeah, they play Indiana in the Big House.
That's hard to see them falling there.
Michigan is not going to lose.
That leaves us with number three, Notre Dame.
Let's go!
Syracuse
is going to upset Notre Dame on Saturday. That's going to happen.
What is this, the Pinstripe Classic, or what are they calling
it? I don't know.
Now?
Let me see. I'll find what they play for, and we'll decide if it's something
but the
we
game's
want.
In Yankee Stadium. So,
no, that's awful.
There's going to be a lot of bandwagon fans who their seasons, their Yankee season and Irish season could end at Yankee Stadium.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find if they play for anything.
Number 12, Syracuse. Number 3, Notre Dame. It's a 2:30 Eastern NBC game.
Doesn't look like an official rivalry game, Dane.
No, but it's a Yankee Stadium.
They don't
stadium.
Play for anything cool.
But it's in Yankee Stadium.
All right, so they play for the Battle of Babe Ruth.
There you go.
Is what we have here. And yeah, and this isn't for any particular reason other than Syracuse isn't awful, and this is not going to hold forever. Somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to screw this up. And Notre Dame's the one, so Notre Dame is going to lose. It's going to be great because this will end up getting wild. It's going to get wild. See, what's going to happen is Notre Dame's going to take a loss.
Which they're out.
The Big 12 is going to cannibalize itself.
Because
West Virginia and Oklahoma are going to play each other twice, and West Virginia is going to win the first one. Oklahoma is going to win the second one. Okay. So they're both going to be out. That's going to be fine. No problem. Ohio State is going to beat Michigan and throw them out.
In Columbus.
But then I need Ohio State to take a loss, because all I'm doing is I'm trying to draw my way to Mike Leach in the playoff.
So
I'm
Ohio
trying to
State.
Get Washington State into the playoff.
Ohio State would have to lose to Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game.
That works for me. I'll take it.
Okay.
That'll
and Washington
it.
State has to beat, I think, Arizona this week, and then Washington in the Apple Cup, and then whoever they face in the South in the Pac-12 championship, probably Utah, maybe Arizona State. So
you see what I brought to the podcast? This is in honor of Mike Leach and the Apple Cup. I brought a Granny Smith.
I don't believe you.
This is an no, that's why I brought it. Yeah, that's why I brought it. Yep, so I'm looking forward to it. Do you think the top four will end up holding? You think we'll just have the boring season and we'll go Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan?
I mean, history tells us no, like it's not going to happen. But it's a long shot for Alabama to lose just with as good as they're playing. Clemson, ACC so weak, it's hard to see anyone knocking them off. Notre Dame, if they're going to lose, it's going to be this weekend against Syracuse. I don't think that USC has a chance to beat them. And then with Michigan, yeah, I mean, they could lose in Columbus. I think they're playing like the better team right now than Ohio State. But in Columbus and that rivalry, Ohio State's got the talent. They've got the quarterback. They could, you know, it wouldn't be a shock at all to see them beat Michigan. If I'm a betting man, I'm still going chalk as we are right now with the top four. But history tells us that that's not going to happen.
Top 10 teams that have interesting games. Could West Virginia get a scare from Oklahoma State? They're going on the road. Oklahoma State could at least maybe score a bunch of points.
Yeah.
I know we get a not necessarily an accurate reflection of how good you are on offense when you play Oklahoma. You just score 40 because Oklahoma is atrocious at defense. This is a random question because it's the team I watch the most. Oklahoma doesn't have better corners on that team anywhere?
No. Do they ever?
Holy cow. Holy cow.
It's just amazing how they can't recruit defense. I mean, they get a couple defensive linemen here and there. They get,
they get 3-4 outside rush guys. Eric Stryker, 5'11", 200 pounds.
They get rushers. A guy, Obinaya last year. They get a guy like Zach Sanchez in the secondary who, he'll make some picks if you throw it to him, but not going to make plays. So, yeah, it's Oklahoma State. Yeah, they have a chance. You know, they're going to score points. You know, they showed that against Texas. They showed it against Oklahoma, and you know they're going to score points. It's just a matter of can the defense do anything to slow down Will Grier and that potent offense.
Okay, is there anything from this past weekend that we need to go over? Obviously, chalk held. Nothing happened, Dane.
Nothing really happened.
Let me throw this out there. I haven't seen the odds lately, but should we? This is not a gambling show, and I'm not recommending you put money on anything. I would never gamble offshore or in country.
But
if you get like 3-1 odds, should you put money on Kyler Murray to win the Heisman? I know Tua has been the overwhelming gambling favorite, but if you're just going off of a stat line, which is a little bit unfair, Kyler Murray's the current Heisman winner.
By what metric?
Here, let me pull up both of their stats for the season, and I'll give you my metric that says Kyler Murray's the Heisman winner. Stats. Okay, so here is Kyler. Here is Tua. So Tua completing 68% of his passes for 2,500 yards, 11 yards per attempt, 28 touchdowns, 2 picks. Kyler Murray, 71% of his passes for 500 more yards, a higher yards per attempt, 4 extra touchdowns, 3 extra picks, higher rating. And he adds in running for 640 yards and 7 touchdowns. By the stat line, Kyler Murray is the Heisman winner.
Yeah, but context. One plays in the SEC, one plays in the Big 12.
But if I have to bet $300 to win $100 on Tua, and I could bet $100 to win $300 on Kyler,
right.
Is that worth... I'll check my new Heisman odds. Let me see what the Heisman odds look like
I think
now.
The only way it is worth it is because Tua's gimpy. And if he goes out, if he gets hurt in the Iron Bowl and then can't play in the SEC championship game, and that opens the door for Kyler to have a big-time moment... Absolutely, that could happen. But Tua's been the best player this year.
Tua is now, you have to bet $450 to win $100. Kyler Murray, you bet $100 to win $500.
Hmm.
So you get 5-to-1 odds if you think that somebody's going to get fooled by the stat line. Will Greer, third, by the way.
He'll get an invite to New York.
Bet $100, get $700.
Yeah, we'll see Will Greer in New York. I wish we'd see Quinnen Williams in there too, but it's probably not going to happen.
And of course, nobody ever gamble. Of course,
no.
What about the kids?
Unless it's the over on a Big 12 game.
Gambling leads to your home being repossessed.
And oh no, what happened?
Your kids can't go to school. It's just gambling is a terrible thing, kids. Just don't do it. That's what we're told.
Speaking from experience,
gambling is just such a terrible thing.
Heard of PSA?
Unless you're in Vegas or Jersey or Atlantic City or wherever.
Yeah, we didn't have much happen this past weekend. I mean, Florida State at Notre Dame, a lot of people kind of were hoping Florida State might put up a challenge to the Ian Bookless Notre Dame Irish, and that didn't happen. Notre Dame handled them pretty well. A lot of their seniors showed out. Dexter Williams, a running back. Elise Mack, the tight end, both played well. Mississippi State at Alabama, that was not a contest. That it was over at halftime. Auburn at Georgia. You know, Auburn, the Jarrett Stidham thing it's interesting because he does some things that make you, okay, he can play a little bit, but just doesn't do it with any consistency. And I think before people just completely give up on him as a prospect and throw in the towel, you really have to separate him from that Auburn offense and realize what they're asking him to do, you know, what he's being coached to do. And once you get him out of that system, what he could possibly grow into, develop into.
His senior?
He's a redshirt junior, but he's coming out.
Can he go to the Senior Bowl?
Yes. He's a graduate. So, yes, he will be at the Senior Bowl. I'll put it that way. Not that he will be at the Senior Bowl. He has an invite. As long as he wants to be at the Senior Bowl, he will be there. Which, by the way, Senior Bowl invites started to go out this week. We had a few already accept, acknowledged they received it. Jalen Moore, the running back from App State. But he suffered a pretty gruesome ankle injury in October. I don't think he's going to be ready to play by late January. Maybe if he works his butt off, he'll be able to play. But even then, I don't know if that's the best thing for him to do.
The Senior Bowl have Jarrett Stidham, Drew Locke, and Will Greer there?
Yes.
Plus, would be an awesome Senior Bowl.
Plus Daniel Jones.
He's
a redshirt junior who's on pace to graduate. So if he wants to be there, he could be there. And the big question will be, okay, let's say those two redshirt juniors are in the Senior Bowl, and they take 8 quarterbacks total. Locke and Greer are both in there, so that's 4. Ryan Finley's in there. That's 5. So you have three spots left. Who do those 3 spots go to?
Kyler Murray, who's too young and playing baseball.
3 spots left for a handful of guys. Gardner Minshew from Washington State has really put up a strong resume, and this is the type of thing that scouts want to see him in an all-star setting like this. Remove him from that Washington State offense. See how he does in a place like Mobile, Alabama.
Or just draft him late and then bring Mike Leach and bring the offense with him. Why not? It would be fun.
Clayton Thorson from Northwestern. Kyle Shermer, Vanderbilt, Easton Stick, North Dakota State. Trace McSorley, Penn State. Brett Rippon, Boise State. I mean, these are the players that are going to be competing for those final 3 or 4 spots at the Senior Bowl for the quarterback. So that's going to be interesting.
Is this the biggest year where the Senior Bowl really could determine draft stock? Carson Wentz could have hurt himself at the Senior Bowl, but we knew he was going high.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, we knew he was going high. Is this a year where the order that some of these guys go could really be determined by that week?
You know, last year we had Baker and Josh Allen in Mobile, and I think that definitely played a part in the way that they were drafted. If Baker doesn't go to Mobile, I don't know, really, that Senior Bowl was the first real exposure John Dorsey had to Baker Mayfield in person. So, I mean, he went to a few of his games. I know he went to the Kansas game and all that. But I'm talking about up close and personal, chance to, you know, meet with Baker and, you know, see him really close up. Senior Bowl is really that first opportunity. So, you know, who knows? If Baker doesn't go to the Senior Bowl, is he still going to take number one overall? I don't know. Maybe Josh Allen. That was big for him in terms of, you know, the season did not end well for him at Wyoming, but he goes to the Senior Bowl, played really well, got better every day, and he continued that momentum into the combine. So Senior Bowl is huge for Josh Allen. And now this is going to be big for these quarterbacks, Drew Lock, Will Greer, Daniel Jones, Jarrett Stidham. We could see some separation if all these guys go to the Senior Bowl, and based on how they play, could help figure out the pecking order of when they're going
to
be drafted.
I need one of them to get drafted at like 45 or so. That's about where I need one of them, right around 45. Which one can I have?
Is that where you're slating Dallas to pick?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
You think there's any shot they'd take a quarterback there? I just think they're all in on Dak. And if it doesn't work, it's all or nothing. If it doesn't work out, okay, then we...
Last 2 weeks have been good.
They have,
since
sure.
They've gotten Amari Cooper. They're suddenly one of the best at converting third downs instead of one of the worst. Completion percentage is up. I'm not quitting on Dak. I'm terrified of $20 million Dak.
Yeah.
That's all.
Which we
that's
don't
all.
Think that's going to happen before... Or we don't think that
the
could possibly happen in
the normally does
season.
It a year early.
Right.
Normally.
You think they'd
in
actually
this scenario,
do that?
If they do it, I would say, well, that's not... Smart front office.
No, of course it's
make
not.
Make him play it out. You have an opportunity to spend money on other positions and
yes.
see what you can do.
Yes.
And then you figure it out.
Hopefully that's
you never
what they
know,
do.
Dane. You never know.
You're
Welcome
not wrong.
To the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know. I think that there's more of a chance that they go tight end, go another position in the
get
second
a tight
round.
End, sign Earl Thomas, and go win the Super Bowl.
That's what they're going to try and do. And
the
then
end.
If it doesn't work out, then you worry about quarterback in 2020 draft.
Yeah, the 2020
but,
draft. Is it that much better? Because somebody asked me. I was like, yeah, it's all about 2020, not 2019. And they were like, why? And I was like, well, Tua, I guess.
Tua's
and
a
if,
big one.
And if Herbert's.
Herbert.
If he doesn't come out this year.
It just seems more and more like he's going back, which, you know, that's right now is where we hear a lot of the chatter about players going to the NFL, they're coming back. And still, really, it's still early. Literally, they have 2 months from right now. January 15th is the deadline. So they have 2 months from right now to make a decision. There's still a lot of time, still a lot of things that can happen that could sway decisions. Now, with that said, I tweeted the other day, Texas Longhorn fans are like this, that I'm told that the buzz from these players, from Texas's top juniors, which is the two receivers, Colin Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey, and then the safety, Brandon Jones, the buzz is they're going back to school for their senior year. And
well, Austin's a cool place. As long as you're getting well compensated while you're there, which, you know, I'm sure they're not, because that would be against the rules.
And if that's the case, Texas next year, they're going to be looking like a Big 12 favorite, possibly, with Sam Ehlinger coming back. I think Sam Ehlinger is one of the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks in college football. I think he is getting better and better.
Does he throw well enough to play on Sundays?
Not at this point, but he's a lot better now than he was in September.
Yeah.
So I think that continued growth and development, I mean, he's getting there. So eager to see where he is at this point next year, because, you know, at this current trajectory, he's getting better every day.
Okay, we have questions. If there's nothing else you want to do, I have questions.
Any good questions?
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? The Trust the Tape crowd has the best questions. By the
fire
way,
them off.
Shout out to my guy, Femi. If that's not how you pronounce your name, let me know. I found out yesterday he's a listener. He's the guy that works for a TV station in what city is Washington State in?
Pullman.
So he works up there. And he posts the clips of Mike Leach every week, so he's my guy.
Nice.
So I just let him know. I said, you're my guy. I love you because you give me this audio and we
Instant
play it on
entertainment.
Radio. And he said, great. That's awesome. Thanks for Trust the Tape. Love what you and Dane do.
Awesome.
So our Washington State guy who's listening,
awesome.
We love you.
Awesome.
Now, question number one from Bobby. Since the Cowboys need a more modern tight end, don't worry, this is not all going to be Cowboys, I swear, people. This is to apply to anybody. Since the random football team needs a more modern tight end, who are some of the more dynamic and athletic tight ends we should be talking about in April?
Well,
Noah Fant.
Yeah, first and foremost,
Iowa, of course.
Starts with Fant, number 87. And his teammate belongs in the conversation too, TJ Hawkinson, he's not quite the athlete that Fant is. His Fant's going to be ridiculous at the combine. His vertical is going to be ridiculous. His testing numbers are going to be great, but TJ Hawkinson is a terrific athlete as well. He's no slouch. He's going to be a better blocker than Fant, and he's, like I said, not a bad athlete either. So I think he's also in that conversation. Irv Smith, what he's doing at Alabama.
Sounds like Cowboys will have the second Iowa tight end above the first one since he blocks.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Just depends what you want. I think Irv Smith's in the conversation. You get a lot of O.J. Howard vibes from him. Dawson Knox from Ole Miss is that athletic move tight end. Can give you a little bit as a blocker, but you're going to draft him for what he does because of his athleticism. Mitchell Wilcox from South Florida, same type of deal. And then Jay Sternberger from A&M, who looks more like a oversized wide receiver, but he's got that route athleticism. He's got sticky hands where the ball just kind of sticks to his hands when he puts them out there. So there's some athletic tight end. I should mention all these guys are juniors that we mentioned. They have to come out and declare before.
Who's the best senior?
Probably Foster Moreau, LSU. If not him, then I really like the Washington tight end, Drew Sample. Those two tight ends are the top seniors, whatever order you want. And then I think there's a little bit of a drop-off. It's just not a great senior group of tight ends. But the junior class is loaded. I mentioned all those guys. Plus, who didn't I mention? Albert O from Missouri. He's not quite the athlete that people make him out to be. Zach Gentry from Michigan. Alizé Mack from Notre Dame. He's technically a fourth-year junior, even though he's listed as a senior. That's how Notre Dame does it. He's a fourth-year junior, but I'm told he's leaving. He's going to the pros. So Alizé Mack will be in this draft class. Caleb Wilson from UCLA. We could have as many as a dozen junior tight ends come out early. And if they do, it's really going to bolster this tight end class.
Limwell asks, rank your favorite munchie meal deal. Taco Bell, $5 box, which I'm going to have to look that up. I'm not sure what's in it.
But they have a lot of different options, I think.
Wendy's, 4 for $4.
Solid.
The McDonald's dollar menu. And Jack in the Box tacos. A little unfair to put Jack in the Box tacos in there because that's just 99 cents. So to compare that with a $5 meal is a little bit unfair. I guess we could say 8 or 10 tacos. And there's nothing wrong with a Jack in the Box taco.
I've never had it.
You know, it's probably a little depressing that I'm sure they're just frozen and then they drop them in a fryer and then they give them to you. Right. But they're pretty tasty. And for 99 cents, it's an incredible value.
Better than Taco Bell tacos?
Ooh. Depends on my mood. Yes, it depends. If I'm in a really positive mood, I'd probably go with the Taco Bell taco.
Okay.
But if I've been a little down, if it's been a rough day, I would go Jack in the Box. It's a depression taco.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how that one works. The McDonald's dollar menu against Wendy's with the 4 for $4, which I'm sure is like the junior bacon cheeseburger,
nuggets,
5 nuggets, fries
and a drink.
Whatever. Yeah.
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 That's not bad.
Nothing wrong with the Wendy's value menu. You know what? Let me look up the Taco Bell $5 box.
McDonald's has always been, if you want to hit a dollar menu, that's kind of the place. Dollar menu, McChicken.
Yeah, the
double cheeseburger.
Good.
Yeah.
Sometimes they change it to the McDouble, which means I believe you lose a piece of cheese.
Yeah, there's only one piece of cheese.
Yeah, it's messed up.
I used to work at McDonald's in high school, so
nice.
Yeah, they're stingy about the cheese. It's the most expensive food that they order every week.
Okay,
it's a big brick of cheese.
You were in management.
Yeah, I helped with the ordering. Yeah,
you knew the expense cost. I worked at Sonic. I was a cook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh,
I did that too. I did a little bit of everything though. But I helped with the ordering, and the even more expensive than, you know, a lot of the other stuff, a whole brick of cheese, which is like, you know, 50 slices of American cheese.
So that's real cheese.
Yeah, it's American cheese, yeah.
Yeah, it's cheese.
Yeah.
The current $5 value combo at Taco Bell includes a Chalupa Supreme, a beefy 5-layer burrito, a crunchy taco, cinnamon twists, and a medium fountain drink.
Okay.
If you bought those separately, it's about $9, but that's a $5 entree now.
Oh.
I only like tacos, so that one's going to finish last for me. At Taco Bell, I always get a number 8, 2 crunchy, 1 soft, no lettuce with a Mountain Dew. That's the 3-taco meal.
Okay, I go nachos Bel Grande, add jalapeno sauce, chicken quesadilla. That's it.
Okay, so we're going, I lost the question. I'm going to go Jack in the Box tacos. Nope, I'm going Wendy's 4 for $4. You're going McDonald's?
I think so, dollar menu.
From Dalton on Twitter, Jeffrey, I need to know how Dane feels about future Dallas Cowboy Brett Rippon. The Boise State Connect makes him a round higher value on their board. It's a lock.
Yeah, well, if we know the Cowboys love their Boise State players, and Brett Rippon's one of the few Boise State players that has a chance to get drafted this year. He's the nephew of former NFL quarterback
Mark
Rippon. back in the early 90s.
And that's not the guy that rammed his head into a wall, right? Was that Gus Frerotte?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
With Rippon, he reminds me a lot of Luke Falk from Washington State last year, where he doesn't have any imposing physical traits. He's not the biggest. His arms
Kellen Moore.
Average. He's better than Kellen Moore. You know, he's a little bit bigger, has a better arm. But, you know, I think he's just very, he's almost too average. I don't know. Maybe you add him to the mix in your quarterback room, but I don't think he has, he's not a guy you want starting for your NFL football team. I'll tell you that.
Jeffrey, with a G, Geoffrey, says, where does TCU's Ben Banagu rank as an edge player? Sounds like not high. Sorry, Jeffrey.
It's not that, he just hasn't had the senior season I think he needed. He came into the year as a possible top 100 player. I think he was preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, a transfer from UL Monroe before last season. There's a lot to like about him, but you know, he's a little bit undersized, maybe 6'3", 245, around there. I'm not sure he's going to be more than a mid-round pick at best. I know there are some scouts that like his teammate LJ Collier on the defensive line better. Banagu is a guy that is more of a pass rusher, and if you stop his initial rush, you're probably going to shut him down. He's not going to help you versus a run. So a lot of questions about him. I think he's not much more than a mid-round pick, but nonetheless, he's a good story. Born in Nigeria, you know, his family's, you know, it's a big part of who he is, and so a good story, but not a premier NFL prospect.
Steven says, love to hear your take on the differences between D tackles Ed Oliver from Houston and Quinnen Williams from Bama and what each could bring to the NFL. In my opinion, I think Quinnen Williams should be the number one overall pick. Thanks.
Oh, so he said that, not you.
He said that.
Okay.
He said that.
What do you think?
How do you differentiate between the two? Is Ed Oliver going to test as a more athletic freak?
Probably, yeah.
But Quinnen Williams for this year has probably been the more productive player. I think if you had to pick him today, and I haven't done tape study on him, I think I would lean to Quinnen Williams first.
Yes.
But Ed Oliver is going to be a whole lot of fun too.
I have done the tape study, and Quinnen Williams is just, he's got better tape. There's just no way around it. Ed Oliver, and that's nothing against Ed Oliver. Like, I want to be able to praise Quinnen Williams without hurting Ed Oliver.
No, that's not how it works, Dane. If you like Quinnen Williams, it means you hate Ed Oliver.
Exactly.
I can't believe you wouldn't take Ed Oliver in the first round.
Yes, I hate him, and he's off the draft board.
Dang.
It's frustrating because, again, I love Ed Oliver. Quinnen Williams has just had better tape this year. He's been a better player, and I think he is the better NFL prospect because of everything that he can do. He has the full skill set, quickness. His initial quickness off the snap is ridiculous. His power at the point of attack is awesome. His ability to use his hands and detach from blocks and, you know, maintain a plan. It's not just out there just being active and aggressive but not going anywhere. He has a plan with everything that he's doing. Actually, last night I had a good conversation with a guard from Arkansas who will be the meet the prospect this week on The Athletic. Really interesting guy from Denmark. He's been a starting guard at Arkansas the last 3 years. So he's gone up against Jonathan Allen. He's gone up against Daron Payne. He's gone up against Quinnen Williams. And I had talking to him about Quinnen Williams, and he did a great job summing him up, saying how the key with Quinnen Williams is he's so good at using your leverage against you. He understands that. And so for a defensive lineman who's only a redshirt sophomore, first-year starter, he knows a lot. He's very keen understanding of what it takes to win that battle in the trenches. He also had a good line, the Arkansas guard, Yelda Froholt. He said, you have to be at your best to beat his average. And I thought that was a great line by him, talking about Quinnen Williams. So, and again, back to Ed Oliver, a really good player. He's going to test really well, but probably going to be between 280, 285. That's not going to be, you know, pounds. That's not going to be a fit for everybody and what they do, what they ask their defensive tackles to do. He's a one gap penetrator. That's what he does best, whether you play him. You know, A gap, B gap, you know, he can do different things based on your alignment, but he's not going to be for every scheme. And that's, I think there's much more likely that Quinnen Williams goes top three than Ed Oliver does. I think Ed Oliver is probably going to go somewhere 6 to 10.
Okay. And the next one, I don't know if you can see what I'm looking up over here, but the next question is, who is the best Marvel hero? Not your favorite, but the best.
But the best is broad.
It is.
Like, most effective?
You know,
or
I guess you're just saying, like, Wolverine is my favorite, of course.
Okay.
Because he has a drinking problem, and I think that makes him a great character.
And he can't die, right? Or he... Because he heals himself, right?
Yeah, he does heal himself. I think if you cut his head off, I think that'd probably do it. He might end up killing Sabretooth at some point. I'm not sure. Thor is like a god, so that's tough to beat.
Yeah, another god would have to knock him off.
Now, Storm is the one that in the X-Men comic books, she always pulled them out of the fire.
Yeah, well, if you can control weather,
yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
That is pretty good. That might even be able to handle Thor.
What about Captain America?
I think Captain America was propaganda for war purposes, and so I'm out on Captain America.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Iron Man?
I do like Professor X and Magneto.
You're all about these X-Men.
Well, yeah, because I don't know how many people know this, but Stan Lee, his actual name is Lieber. So he was a Jewish guy that when he wrote this, he was basically writing the X-Men about people who have been oppressed, and then Magneto and Professor X were basically Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. So you had a civil rights thing going in the X-Men where one of them was like, yo, screw this, by any means necessary. That was Magneto. And Professor X was like, yo, homie, nonviolent. Let's just try to fix the world, you know? And so, you know, Stan Lee was a badass and the Marvel heroes are badasses. I'm just going to go Wolverine. I don't care about the rules of the question. I like Wolverine.
Best.
He was a drinker.
I think you have to go Thor. You're talking about the best. I mean, that hammer that he's got.
Yeah. Unless Odin decides that he's not worthy of it, then he can't pick it up. You know, that's a tough break. Next question on Trust the Tape, your featured NFL draft and college football podcast, of course. Let me see here. Is Dakota Allen going to be the first Tech defensive player drafted early since God knows how long from Mitchell?
Define early.
Will he be drafted?
Yes. Nah, I don't think he's a top 100 guy. I think he's more of a, you know, between rounds 4 and 6 type of player. Not a bad player by any means. He's just, you know, has some holes in his game and coverage. And, you know, against a run, he's physical, he's violent. Just more of a day 3 pick, a guy that's going to add depth to your linebacker group and, you know, possibly see the field when needed.
Two more questions. This one from Tripp. Who is the actual wide receiver number one? I feel like Hakeem Butler needs more respect. That's Iowa State, correct? Butler?
Yeah. Iowa State fans are going to hate me.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure Hakeem Butler is going to be in my top 10 wide receivers.
Oh, man. Shots fired at Hakeem Butler.
But again, it's just because this wide receiver class is so diverse. There's so many different options here. You know, if you want, you know, we talked about Marquise Brown before, Hollywood. You want the small, shifty guy that has speed to take the top off of defense, create after the catch, that's your guy. If you want the basketball playing, post-up possession guy, that's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. N'Keal Harry, Riley Ridley, Kelvin Harmon, they do a little bit of everything. They don't have the elite speed in their routes, and they're not going to create consistent separation, but they're really good at the catch point. And you know, they offer some things that makes you think they have potential to start. With Hakeem Butler, I like him. I think he's probably, you know, he's somewhere on day 2 for me, you know, probably more 3rd round than 2nd round, just because, yes, he can get downfield, and, you know, at his size, we're talking about 6'5", 6'6", 225 pounds. He can out-rebound the football, and he's done that against some inferior competition like Kansas this year. But, you know, we remember the touchdowns he got against Oklahoma. But in the NFL, those 50-50 balls are more like 20-80 balls. You know, it's just not going to have the same type of success. And his routes, his speed, they're not what you are looking for from an NFL starter. So I think he's just a specialized guy who has value, but he's more of a day 2, more like round 3 type of player. And I think there's better receivers in this draft. Now, who's the best? Who's the true number one? There's no consensus. You know, if you want to have Hakeem Butler as your number one, go for it. I'm not going to say you're wrong, because there's a lot of these guys lumped together. I think right now I'd leave Marquise Brown because of that speed. It's just so special, and I never thought I'd say a 170-pound receiver would be the best in the draft. But right now, that's kind of where I'm leaning because of what he can do, the way he can stretch out an offense, both vertically and horizontally, the way he can you know, keep the defense really locked on one guy and open up things for the rest of the team. So John Ross, because that speed went top 10 a few years ago, hasn't lived up to it. But I still think teams are going to be looking for that next Tyreek Hill, and Marquise Brown is the closest thing to that. And because of that, I think he's probably going to go somewhere in that late first round.
Last question from Buffalo Grumblings on Twitter. Secrets and tips for making great pulled pork.
Pulled pork's a very forgiving meat to attack.
Oh, it sounds like I need to make some then. I can't screw that up.
It's hard to screw it up. Forgiving. You can overcook it. And, I've brined it ahead of time. That didn't work. It was way too salty. So I think you just need to really coat it in whatever you want. I like to do butter and then whatever seasoning you want on top of that. Put it in the smoker for, it depends on the size of the pork shoulder or the butt. And, 225 should only take you 4 or 5 hours. Take it off, add some more, shred it up into a pan, put some more, sprinkle a little more seasoning all over it, and you're good to go. It's really forgiving. It's really hard, unless you really overcook it. Hard to screw it up.
Can I do pulled pork for Thanksgiving? Turkey's so dry and bland.
Yeah, I mean,
can I just change what we're eating there?
Just go to Popeyes and order a Cajun turkey.
I love Popeyes.
Yeah, I know.
Had Popeyes yesterday.
Popeyes is good.
It was incredible. I had 2 Snap Kitchen meals for breakfast and lunch. That's the healthy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, you know what? I've earned Popeyes. And I went and had it because it's so incredible.
Yeah, but you I'm so disappointed in you.
And what?
You go to Popeyes and you get the mild. You go spicy. That spicy's good stuff.
The spicy ruins the chicken. All they're doing is sprinkling some nastiness on the outside between
nasty
them.
Nasty goodness.
Yeah. No, I have some Cajun stuff at the house if I wanted to put something on there. I got some stuff.
Oh, so you do like Cajun stuff.
A little bit, yeah. But the Popeyes, they go a little over the top with
it. That's that Louisiana cooking.
A little over the top.
I got one more question for you.
Oh.
Is it where we sit right now, November 14th, is it too early to put up your Christmas tree?
No. No, I support I support all that. I took my Halloween decorations down yesterday. I was a little behind, but if I weren't lazy, I would totally support having Christmas lights on your house from November 1st to February.
Thank you. Yeah, I put mine up yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What a badass.
Our Christmas tree goes up November 19th every year because that's the day I propose to my wife.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I proposed with an ornament.
Oh!
With that said, will you marry me?
And it did no ring. You saved all the money?
Yeah, just the ornament. And
Awesome. And she wears that ornament, which is the coolest thing.
You're
out in public. She has this ornament.
It's awkward sometimes, but it's a good conversation starter.
Yeah, it's incredible. All right, the end. We will talk to you guys next week on Trust the Tape. 5-star reviews now. And tell your friends to subscribe, for crying out loud. Why aren't your friends subscribed? You know, we need our listenership to be in the millions. So let's get on that. We'll see you next week.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.